And welcome everybody to YouTube, channel 2600, where we are having our weekly episode of Off the Hook Overtime.
Yes, an episode it is. Welcome everyone.
It's not an episode till we actually make it onto YouTube, and it takes us about 20 seconds or so to know that we made it onto YouTube. Sometimes we haven't made it. Yeah, it's kind of dramatic. Rob T. Firefly is giving us a thumbs up, so I think we're on YouTube, and we can officially say welcome to cyberspace, everybody. We had a lot to talk about there, UFOs or whatever they're called now, and technology as threatening instruments, all sorts of things like that, and of course Eurovision. Really like that song. Really like that Ukrainian song. In fact, you know, every single one of the 40 songs is now stuck in my head. I did this in a week, less than a week. Just, you know, on YouTube, they're all there. You just play them, and they're very catchy. And some of the videos are really, really good. And just the spirit of the whole event is really incredible. So I recommend it to anybody. Not necessarily the kind of music that I listen to, or not necessarily the kind of music you might even like, but it's that spirit of camaraderie, that spirit of just fun that we don't seem to have enough of lately. And, you know, you look for that in all different arenas. Sometimes it's a football arena. Sometimes it's a music arena. We all have to keep sharing the fun. All right. What else do people have in their minds this week before we open up the phone lines?
Well, Rob and I were talking about this during the break. I didn't get a chance to share this on air. But I was telling Rob that when I was in college, I thought I saw a UAP. I was confident I had seen a UAP, and this is also making me think about the closed-door session, because here's the story. I went to college in a large urban center, shall we say. I took astronomy, and we convinced our professor that none of us were really good at math, so we just looked at stars. We just set up the telescope every week and looked at stars, and that was what we did. But because of urban light pollution, we had to, like, drive an hour to go set up the telescope. Everybody with me so far? So we went and set up the telescope, and I'm looking, and I said, okay, star, planet, star, this is great. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's that? That's a red thing. That's not supposed to be there. Oh, my God. You guys, it's a UFO. It's a UFO. And I was, like, screaming and jumping up and down. I found a UFO. This is a UFO. Oh, my God, this is scary. So everybody came and looked at the telescope. It turned out it was an airplane in a holding pattern, and that was a wing. It was a wing light that I was seeing. My friends gave me a very hard time about it. I never really lived it down. So I'm assuming that is why they had to have the closed-door session, because finding out the thing you saw was a UFO is not, in fact, a UFO or a UAP or whatever you want to call it, is very embarrassing, and you don't want to do that in front of a lot of people.
Well, that was a big part of eliminating the stigma. They've had a huge problem with that in reporting in the military. You can imagine the kind of environment and seriousness and ribbing you might undergo saying you saw something. Not to say nothing of your fitness to fly. Like, as a pilot, you need to have good eyesight. You need to not be on acid. Like, you have got to do a good job. And when you see things that aren't there, people might question your fitness to operate that airplane, especially if it's armed or something, you know.
Sure.
There's also the factor that, like, and I personally am no great fan of the military or closed governmental things, but you can see there are very actual practical reasons why they had to address part of this behind closed doors. And that's because this does involve defense. It involves watching for, you know, things coming from, you know, hostile countries or what have you. And they need to not be able, they need to not speak in public about, like, exactly what the capabilities are for, like, seeing distant things in the air. Like, they need to keep some of that to themselves.
Rob, I get all that. Fine. But maybe they could just give us a summation afterwards and say, this is what we concluded in our discussions. And all kinds of secret info was given out, and we're not gonna talk about the secret info. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's partly that. I mean, there's a lot of aspects to that, the embarrassment part, but also the sensors and stuff that that Rob is speaking to, a lot of those are used for other capabilities for defense, and you don't want to say what you're able to image and not. But there's also aspects of this where we're not really set up. We don't have systems, or we have them, but they're disparate, or they're just on one particular plane, or the types of planes that are out there maybe don't have all the things they need to do this. And more to the point, it's not integrated. It's not all connected and funneling into a group like this in a formal way. It never has been, or at least it has not been officially in a public way. So just the mere fact that they're establishing this in public, even though there are private aspects of that, that is encouraging. But I am so with you. There are so many parts of this. It's hard to believe, like, okay, I'm, you know, you'll string along for so long, but then when it gets cagey, when there's stuff that you're just, that creates more opportunity for questions than actual answers, it's a little bit hard. Like, oh, is this defense we're talking about, or is this a defense resource that saw something that you can't talk about? Like, you start, there's only a couple different scenarios that would make them shut up about stuff, and that's what I mean by, like, reading between the lines. You can kind of figure out, like, oh, they might have other sensors that have other data that you're not going to tell us about, that tells us about a certain object, that it was actually an object, or that it had heat, or other wavelengths coming off of it, radio frequencies, et cetera.
Can I just say, and this is for the benefit of our listeners in the tri-state area, that we can direct you to, what do you call it, I guess an IFO, Identified Flying Object, but it might be kind of mysterious, and you might not have known what it was. In 1 hour, the space station is going to be visible. Yeah, 1 hour from now, at 8 minutes after 9 o'clock until 14 minutes after 9 o'clock. And these are very, very exact. You can't, they can't be late. They happen. It's going to be rising in the, the west? Yeah, and it'll be setting in the northeast. It'll just be in the sky. What you'll see a bright light. It's not super bright. It was a lot brighter a couple of days ago, you know, when it was raining. This is magnitude -1.4. So it'll be like Jupiter. If you know what Jupiter looks like, it'll be a pretty bright, it'll look like an airplane moving, but it'll move in a way that doesn't seem like an airplane. It'll kind of be moving sideways a little bit. Very, very weird if you've never seen it before. At odds are you have seen it and just haven't realized what you're looking at. But the space station, and this happens almost every day. It happens, you know, in varying degrees. In fact, it's going to happen a couple more times tonight, but not nearly as bright. It'll be visible. It might be visible in other parts of the country as well. I imagine it would be because it's not that much of a difference in distance. 9:08 and 41 seconds is when it'll first appear. And it will end at 9:14 and 31 seconds. And between that period of time, you will see a light going across the sky. Yeah, I can't tell you exactly where. Just it'll be there. And if it's clear, I assume it's clear in the area. I haven't looked outside in a while. But it'll be fun. And hopefully we'll be off the air by then. So you won't have to listen to us. Okay, we have a phone call. You know, I haven't given the phone number out, and somehow we have a phone call. How is that possible? This is like time travel.
It may be a phone call that someone was anticipating to make a previous show, well, like a week or two.
Let's not discount time travel. It could still be that. But it's possible also that, are we using the same phone number we used last time?
Similar number, yeah.
Similar? Yeah. We use the same number every damn week, don't we?
Yeah, so they might have known that.
What they could have done is written it down. And then
do people still teach it? People still teach like handwriting and stuff. And
They don't have to write it; they can type it. You know, they can speak it into one of their assistants and have it spoken back to them.
Or spray paint it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're probably very frustrated now that we haven't talked to them. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Go ahead.
Yes, the volume is perfect.
It's Rebel. The volume is perfect. You know, it's such a smooth show, isn't it? Smooth. And we're not going to be on for two weeks, and we're going to mess with all the dials. So we have to start from scratch all over again.
Oh, we're not going to be on for 2 weeks. Okay.
Rebel, have you ever seen the space station?
No, I haven't. But,
well, you can tonight.
Talking about the that drone that was going around. I saw it on the news on New York City.
This is the biggest drone of all. Think about it. And you can see it tonight.
The unidentified thing, that thing that was at night in the sky, that drone that was like...
If it's a drone, you just identified it.
Well, that's what it was.
Be specific.
I mean, yeah.
Something like that. I saw a defense... I mean, I saw something about, you know, the defense people were talking, so that's...
Uh-huh.
I didn't hear it because I was watching. But anyway, yeah. So, let's see. When you go into stores now, they have the channel, like they play music, but it's not the radio. It's the Duncan channel. You know, you go into Dunkin' Donuts, they don't have Hot 97 on.
No, they have their own channels. In fact, you know, if you ever go, I went to this place a couple of times over the years. It's a radiology place called Zwanger Pessori or something.
Yeah.
They have their own TV channel. They have their own damn TV channel. They have adventure show. I mean, they're probably not their own shows, but it's just a TV channel. Just for, I can't imagine who thought of this. But for people sitting in the waiting room, you get to see their own brand. It's better than seeing Fox News. I'll give them that.
Why don't we have something at Hope like that? The Hope channel.
Because we don't have a waiting room.
No, I mean, we could play it on, like, I don't know, the last week.
Well, no, we have that. It's called The Conference. We played talks, and we have the InfoBeamer giving you updates in between the talks and things like that. So we do have our own channel.
Yeah,
in fact, we have a few channels.
We're going to be continuing our use of the beaming schedule. It's an InfoBeamer. They're great. A great system, and we've availed ourselves of their system for a couple events now, and we're getting a little better at it, and it's got a lot of capabilities, and so we'll have that, and we'll be having some fun with that, and of course it's no supplement. We'll have our main tracks and schedules, but it'll help augment that with information and updates and a little bit of interaction, maybe.
And we'll have some very interesting virtual things going on as well from all around. So it'll be amazing.
I just want to ask, how do radio stations, like, you know how, like, they in New York City, like, WBAI is broadcast from the four Times Square, whatever, a couple of, like, when it used to be broadcast on the Empire State Building, how does all the radio stations get broadcast from one antenna, like the commercial stations, WBAI, how does that work? Like,
well, okay, you're referring to a tower. They all broadcast from the same tower. Everyone has their own individual antenna, which is attached to the tower, and everyone has their own transmitter, which is downstairs in a loud room with all kinds of fans and air conditioners going, and those are the transmitters going there. So everyone shares a particular space with the cabling and all. In the Empire State Building or the Freedom Tower or four Times Square. It's the same pretty much everywhere.
Okay, so they broadcast from the same antenna?
No, the antennas are all, you know, every station has their own antenna, but we're sharing a tower. So there's not all these different towers. And, you know, if you see a tower without a building attached to it with a flashing red light on top, similar things. You'll see antennas going up on the side. They could be cell phone antennas, they could be FM antennas, and they basically rent them out based on height and, of course, power.
Yeah, I liken it to, this is a terrible analogy, and I'm sure radio people will be upset at me for saying this.
We are radio people.
It's like a pipe organ.
I'm upset.
I know you're upset, but just go with me. Imagine each pipe or key on that pipe organ is a frequency and a radio station, and each one has its own transmitter and pump for each pipe. You know,
so
what?
Radio
is forget it.
Medieval in your eyes.
I was trying to make it like a musical.
25 or 35 little antennas on top of that one mast antenna on top of the.
Well, there aren't that many. I mean, if you count, first of all, the stations are in different places. Some stations have backup transmitters in different places. So they might have an antenna in two locations. But, you know, it's about a dozen usually. Maybe a little more, a little less. Most places are less.
Oh, but, like, how did, so Hot 97 has a little antenna on top of that thing on the Empire State Building.
Of course.
WBAI used to have one on there, and C100 used to have one on there.
Yeah, well, Four Times Square is much cheaper than the Empire State Building. It's also a little bit lower, so our signal suffered a slightly on that. But remember the World Trade Center bombing in the early 90s, that knocked a lot of stations off the air, TV and radio, and that's how you learned who was on there. Rob, you have something?
So
yeah,
really,
just
wait
you,
a minute.
Hang on, Rebel.
TV,
let Rob say something, then you can go ahead.
Yeah, I encourage anyone who's curious to actually, if you look up some images online of the broadcast spire on top of buildings like One World Trade Center or the Empire State Building or anything else where there are broadcast antennas, you know, what looks like one antenna sticking up into the sky from the ground, when you look up close, you will see so many little antennas and dishes and everything attached to it, and that's what's going on. It's one big structure, but there are lots of antennas on it, and it all works.
Oh, and they don't interfere with each other. Oh, that's interesting. That's just like having a CB antenna, like a CB radio, and putting on top of the building, but each channel, like 1 through 40, would, you know what I mean?
And there are TV channels up there, too, you know, because TV, that's how they transmit as well.
It's a distinct frequency, so it's not going to interfere with FM and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And other microwave and transmission technologies are up there as well, to either supplement or get information to the transmitter sites and or do other things with telecommunications. It's a really involved building.
No, AM is different. Like
AM is different.
CBS News Radio.
They tend to have multiple because it's directional. They have multiple towers usually in various places. A lot of them are in New Jersey. And that's how you can tell AM stations. You'll see usually about three towers.
Right.
And shortwave is similar.
The radio station AM News Radio 88, I think, is in the Bronx.
Okay. Yeah. It requires more real estate to be able to, you know, have these different towers. But the signal travels in a completely different way. In fact, you know, at night you can pick up AM stations from all around the country, or at least the eastern half. And it's great fun if you can do this, if you get away from electrical interference and internet interference too, because a lot of computers interfere with AM radio. But if you can get to a place where you can scan the dial after dark, just go slowly. Go to 780 AM and you'll hear WBBM out of Chicago. It's a news station, very similar to WCBS. But almost every single frequency has something. You'll hear stations from Canada. We heard Cuba the other night.
I was just going to recount the story. I was so proud of myself because it was late, it was dark, and I was a passenger, and I was just kind of tuning, DXing a little rudimentary style.
Yeah,
there
it's called DXing.
Yeah, yeah, as though I, you know, have the skills. But I had fun. I was just amusing myself, and that came on, this station, and I thought, that's got to be Cuba, because it sounded, the language was a little bit more distinct than something
hold
in
Hold on
Europe.
A second. There are a lot of Spanish stations. What told you it was Cuba?
Well, it was a couple things. It was proximity, like the likelihood that up north I would be able to pick up something. It would probably be coming from the same kind of longitude or something.
It could have been New Jersey. It could have been, you know, a Spanish.
Distant. It was the style of music.
There you go.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was the very, like, serious, stern, kind of stirring.
It was kind of like
classical.
Yeah, it was sort of middle of the road type music, and we looked up the station, and they've been on for a long time, and they're known for this sort of thing, and occasionally their signal just bounces through. But you only hear these things if you take the time to just tune around, and sometimes you have to hear really lousy sounding radio for a while. I mean, signal quality. You have to be patient, but things do pop in. We listened Grand Ole Opry out of Nashville when we were driving around, and you can get that in New York.
Just that experience turned me on to that program,
mm-hmm.
which is folksy and very, you know, quintessentially American, and now I like sometimes seek it out just from the good experience of having found it on a road trip. So
it's because of the way AM radio waves propagate at night. They bounce off the ionosphere, and they come down in other parts of the country, and you really hear all sorts of cool things.
Right, in the car going down the road, like I'll be in Pennsylvania or Ohio, or, you know, going in a car going down the road, and I'll hear sometimes Chicago News Radio 88 or whatever,
78, yeah.
Like you said, New York City's WCBS FM or AM. I mean, it won't work very far west, but you know, it'll you know, and sometimes it won't work. You know, it'll come in and out sometimes, and
or you hear something completely different and unexpected. So, yeah, just experiment. You tend to get more on the lower part of the AM dial, but sometimes you get surprises on the upper part as well.
Hmm. Are we going to have something at Hope about radios and, like, playing with radios?
We can, yeah. We definitely have radio people that are coming, and we do have ham radio people, and I think we're going to have another ham radio station. And the thing is, at St. John's, we're set up much better to have the space to do something really cool with that. So if there are people interested in that want to become a part of that particular project, write to us. Hope@hope.net is one address you can use, or just go to the Hope.net website and email the particular department you're interested in being a part of.
Yeah, we're really interested. We want to hear all the ideas people have, and if you have special considerations for something you're installing, chances are there's other hackers that are doing something like that and, have a plan in place, or, we're already accommodating different projects and so forth. So please send us your ideas and things that you want to embark on over the event.
Alex, looks like you have something to say. Go ahead.
No,
maybe I should go on Skype, because then they can tell whether I have to say.
Yeah, Rebel, when you hear me say Alex has something to say, that's a key that I'm going to be asking Alex to say something. So let Alex talk now. Go ahead.
I yield my 2 minutes.
Don't be shamed. Just because, you know, whatever you have to say, it's not silly. It's not something we'll laugh at.
I'm happy to yield my time to the gentleman in the Chemical Bank lobby.
Okay, he's no gentleman, and we don't yield here.
That's right. No, I'm always
gentleman.
Again, Rebel, really? You know what a conversation is, where one person talks and another person listens, just for a minute, you know? Right now, this is Alex's time. He's waited for this time. He's waited so patiently, and you're scaring him into yielding his time. We don't want that. We want people to be expressive. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, I often travel with a portable shortwave radio just to pick up things. You know, when you're in Europe, you're going to be listening to other things. When you're in Asia, you're going to be picking up other things. It's kind of fascinating to me what you can pick up in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, and I think this is probably, you know, maybe a little personal for you, but I remember a long time ago, Emmanuel, when you had a shortwave radio in your car.
I did. I did have a shortwave radio. It didn't do me a whole lot of good because the car itself interfered with the shortwave radio. So whenever I was in the car with the car on, I'd get a buzz over. It wasn't the wisest purchase ever. If I turned the car off and just sat in the car that wasn't doing anything, I could listen to shortwave. But I could do that in my house.
That's true, right. I didn't realize that there was interference from the car. Didn't you have to order that from some Middle Eastern country?
United Arab Emirates, yeah. It's one of a string of bad decisions I've made.
Well, there you have.
But, you know, the smart car, which was imported from Europe, that has a long wave radio inside it.
That was medium wave.
No, well, medium wave is AM. It's another way of saying AM.
Right. Yeah.
But long wave is the frequency below medium wave, below AM, and that's used in Europe for long distances differently than short wave. It doesn't quite fade in the same way. Thing is, there's no long wave stations anywhere around here, so I can't really experiment with it. But if I'm ever in Europe driving a rental car that has a long wave radio, I intend to.
Fascinating.
Yes. Rebel, anything else? Because we're going to give out the phone number now and take a call.
Let's see. I guess I'll be I'm going to be bringing I think I'll bring something to Hope. You know, like something.
Okay. Well, I hope you do.
What else? Shall I say what I'll bring?
Sure, go ahead. We have no secrets here.
A cup telephone.
A cup telephone? You mean a candlestick phone? Is that what you mean?
No, candlestick. That would no.
Are you talking about a phone from the 1920s? What
coupler?
No, a cup telephone. Two quality cups, paper cups, not wax cups.
Oh.
A quality string.
You're going to bring a couple of Dixie cups with string attached to them? That's what you're going to bring?
Or it's going to be imported. So.
Imported from where? Jersey?
Europe.
Okay, all right. You know what? I'm going to reserve judgment.
That would be a fun competition.
But
if we had,
I will be judging, but I'll reserve judgment.
If we had the space, We do longest coffee can or tin can phone.
We have the space. We could make a 5-mile connection if you want. I mean, you know,
tin cans don't work. It has to be paper cups, not wax cups, and the string has to be like a certain
diameter,
like thinness.
Okay.
Well, you know what? Think length. Think how. Let's make this dramatic.
Probably 100 feet.
How about 10,000 feet?
I don't know if that would work because you got to hold the string tight, and then that's to be straight. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you have tension every couple hundred meters. You have tension and
huge amounts of space. We could do that.
Points and then
like a repeater.
Yeah, and then we need a string switch to connect calls.
I'm just saying, think big. Think big. You won't be disappointed.
Yes, multiplexing with twine.
Oh, you know, it's a start. Rebel, pleasure as always. We'll talk to you next time.
Okay.
Take care.
In 2 weeks,
yes. Mark his calendar. Alex, either you hurt your finger or you have something to say, but before you do, I'm giving out the phone number, 80, because I haven't done it yet, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. We talked about giving out the phone number, and then we didn't give it out. That's how bad we are at
programming. We got interrupted with a call and our own.
Yeah, but we never gave out the phone number. This is the first time I did it.
Too much of listening to our own damn voices.
The space station is coming, and we have yet to give out the phone number. Go ahead, Alex.
I just wanted to say for the record, there is a Jersey in Europe.
Yeah, there's a Jersey off the coast of England, right?
There's a New York in Ukraine.
Yeah, that's right. It's like off the coast of northwest France.
Something like that, yeah. But Kyle's right. There is a New York in Ukraine, but I'm not sure how legal that is. They just named it recently.
Well, and there's news in from this New York. I for a second, it always catches me, and then I realize it's the other New York, the other New York.
I've been to Hell in Norway, and that was a fun place to be. Do we have a phone call? Okay, let's take this phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, what's up?
There's a video that's 3 minutes on YouTube called Elon Musk. delete your social media now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Here's why. It's a month old. Last week it only had 32 views.
Uh-huh.
Today it has like 600,000 or something. Anyway,
wow.
I'm not going to say what it is because I want people to watch it.
Okay, so Elon Musk, delete your social media. Is that what it was?
Elon Musk, :, delete your social media now. And it's him. It's a clip of him, I think, on Joe Rogan.
Oh, boy. That can never end well.
And just a side note, Scotty Kilmer is this YouTube guy who talks about car stuff, and he has these really funny little pictures that will show up in the top right corner. And today there was he was talking about electric cars or whatever, and a picture of Elon Musk flashed on the screen, and it might have been from the same video because he's wearing an Occupy shirt, but
wow,
he's smoking a big spliff.
Uh-huh.
So I have no idea in this entire Joe Rogan video if he's like smoking.
Wow.
But that would be something.
Interesting. Well, we have to see this video. We'll see it right after the show. But I wonder why it got so many views so quickly.
I don't know. I this is the first time I've let anybody know about it. Actually, I tried to call last week, but
well, how did you find out?
We only
about
had
it?
32 views, but huh?
How did you find out about it?
My algorithm showed it to me, probably.
Oh, wow!
That's the first time I've heard that. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. That's the first time I've heard someone say it so plainly.
Yeah, my algorithm did it. That's great.
Yeah, my own personal algorithm. As a matter of fact, there's a Saturday Night Live. I totally did not look it up at all. So there's a Saturday Night Live skit from 2 weeks ago that has a person that is an algorithm, and it's really funny, and you would not know at all which skit it is, so you can also look at that on YouTube, and it's something with the word food in it, and it's like this weird song that these two dudes are doing, but then this person, I'm not even going to say what, you know, this person shows up, and they're like, I'm your algorithm, and it's really good. Wow. Anyway, so if anybody wants to know what their algorithm looks like, or, then they can
awesome.
Like, you know, personify it or humanize or whatever, but which is completely ridiculous. But
it's
then the last thing I just wanted to say really quick is, I don't know if this is pushing it or whatever, but the Women's March was not covered because of a mass shooting, and I heard that there were 292 mass shootings just this year, but then I looked it up and found that there were only 198 mass shootings in the United States so far this year. Even Fox News reported 33 mass shootings just this month. So it sounds really cold and impersonal, but anytime the media does not want to cover any issue, now mass shootings are so every day that they can just choose the mass shooting of the day to cover instead.
Wow.
Fair point.
Well, it sounds cynical, but it's probably true. The thing is, there are so many channels. You could have a mass shooting channel if you want. You could also have a channel that covers marches and demonstrations and things like that.
Mm. Good point.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's the best selling point, but...
Well, much love to the folks in Buffalo and to all the ladies this weekend.
Yes, definitely.
All right, bye, guys.
Thanks so much for sharing. Take care.
These media things, I was going to say, are great tools to at least share information, characterize some of the problems, and make it approachable instead of dry and maybe hard for people to get in, pique people's interests or get people's support behind. I have another call. Actually, no, I think it dropped.
Oh, it did? Okay.
Please call back. I'm sorry.
Yes. Sometimes that happens.
I was distracted.
Sometimes
talking.
You have too many jobs.
You know, I'll just monitor things over here. You all talk amongst yourselves.
Our phone number, 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And I think a call is coming in. Is it working? Or what's going on?
This person, I think we may have heard from earlier.
Is that Rebel again?
I wasn't going to say that, but I'm not sure if this is a
pick up,
new
pick
call.
Let's pick up.
All right. Maybe
good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Rebel,
thing I want to mention that last call.
Rebel, don't make us block you, because we can do that. You know, we can do that, and we can make sure that your calls get transferred into the outer space where the space shuttle is, space station.
Let him at least share what he has to say.
You have two sentences, and then that's it.
Okay. Yes. Companies are buying things like Google. It's a search engine. Why is it buying a doorbell company, Ring doorbell? It's not Google Ring doorbell.
Because Google is a very curious company. They want to know things. They want to know all about you, all about the things around us. They keep buying things so they can learn more.
They haven't been told
they're buying the
why don't
Nest
you want them to learn?
Thing.
Why don't you want Google to learn? You know, as much as they possibly can.
Why is a car company buying Twitter? Why is a car company buying a social media company?
So that you can tweet while you drive. I don't know. There's all sorts of... But yeah, your point is taken. It's insane.
They're all trying to own the future, Rebel, okay?
Yeah.
And it's foolish and hilarious. Enjoy the show.
As the information operator would say, disconnecting now. Thank you. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK is our phone number. Folks in Skype land, take the floor for a little bit.
We were having a discussion earlier about the Texas law, if we can go back to Buffalo for a second. The Texas law, and reading a post on Tech Dirt from Monday about whether Twitch and Discord would have violated the new Texas law by taking down the shooting.
Wow.
Because the way that the law is written, it appears that that is exactly what has happened. Because you can say, oh, someone is live streaming a mass shooting. That shouldn't be allowed. But according to the Texas law, where you're not allowed to remove content based on viewpoint, it's open season.
Yeah,
and,
but, I mean, do they have any provision for illegal activities? Let's go to the favorite of, you know.
It's about to get better.
Okay.
There was a proposed amendment, right?
Uh-huh.
This including they wanted to put in, I'm reading the actual amendment or a screenshot of the amendment, in Section 6 of the bill, adding directly or indirectly promotes or supports any international or domestic terrorist group or any international or domestic terrorist acts. And it was voted down.
How do you vote that down? Who votes that down?
Apparently, the Texas legislature was really angry at Facebook, and they didn't care what happened.
And that's how good legislation is written. Alex, I'm sure you have a view on this as a legal person.
I think it's just crazy. And again, it goes back to the issue that we had addressed last week, which is that I think these laws are not really designed to be laws by these legislators. They're not designed to withhold judicial scrutiny. They're not designed to survive the constitutional test of strict scrutiny when you're dealing with a fundamental right like free speech. They are performance. They're performance-based. They're designed to be on the books or maybe not even make it onto the books. They're designed to have certain politicians associated with them during the drafting, the passage, and the announcement or pronouncement of whatever idiotic law of the week it is that's infringing on fundamental freedoms. And they're going to be struck down. They're certainly going to be struck down. But they serve a useful purpose for these people because they are energizing their base. And I think since the days of the Republicans blocking Merrick Garland from his appointment to the U.S. Supreme Court, the Republicans have realized that it doesn't matter how outrageous you are. It's just about energizing the base ahead of an election. We've got a really important midterm election coming up, so I'm not surprised at all that we see a lot of these idiotic performance-based laws that are nowhere even resembling something like constitutional, and they'll be struck down.
Yeah, and the grandstanding on this is not just being done by these Texas politicians. Our own governor, Kathy Hochul, is quoted in this TechDirt article saying that Twitch should be held liable for not taking down the video fast enough. She said, the fact that this act of barbarism, this execution of innocent human beings, could be live-streamed on social media platforms and not taken down within a second says to me that there's a responsibility out there to ensure that such hate cannot populate these sites. So, like, anyone thinking about this for a moment would come to the reasonable conclusion that it's impossible to see something streaming and take it down within a second, judge that this is something terrible and it shouldn't be put out over the site. But, you know, she can say this and it can rile up people and, you know, achieve whatever political point scoring needs to be done without being any kind of reasonable way to enforce or apply the law.
Yeah, but I think we're over, you know, being too literal here because, you know, obviously it's not going to be in a second, but, you know, it's an emotional reaction saying this never should have happened. Well, it did happen. Obviously, never is the wrong word, but I would take her viewpoint over what's going on in Texas any day, even if it's technically wrong. Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, I just wanted to add that this reminds me of the argument that video games are the problem, that, like, we point to something, and it's maybe partly true. It maybe speaks to a overall phenomena of how, you know, how we spend time, how we value, and, you know, what kinds and forms of entertainment. You know, there are arguments to be made that it may be a contributor to overall behavior or attitudes, but that it isn't that, you know, video games are made to not show you violence or not, you know, expose you to anything, being the solution. And it seems in the same league. I don't know.
You see that Rob's playing a video game right now. Some kind of a wise guy. Look at that. He's got a joystick controller thing, whatever kids use these days.
And yes, but I haven't done anything violent with it.
Yeah. He seems peaceful for now.
Yeah, it's only a matter of time.
I don't know if that.
We have a call. Good evening. You're on Off Look Overtime.
Daryl McPherson, Bronx, New York. Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Right, okay. Couple of things. One, I sent you all an email last week about an FCC petition to deny WBAI its license renewal in June.
Yes, we talked about this last week. But go ahead. What's your opinion on it?
You have any updates?
Well, I apologize. I must have been dead last week. No, I'm serious. I'm having a lot of challenges these days. what did you think of them including Hope in their list of challenges?
It was good for a laugh. It's absurd that someone would say that us talking about Hope somehow violates the FCC. It's just nonsense. If somebody doesn't know anything about radio, the rules, the FCC, you know, people are allowed to talk about events that they're involved in. That is, you know, certainly something that anybody with common sense knows already. But the thing is, it's kind of like a harassment campaign against the radio station where people just will come up with utter nonsense just so the radio station has to defend themselves in court and waste money. That's really what this is.
And then be bankrupt and go into receivership mm-hmm. so that they can take it.
Pretty much.
It's and it is a vulnerability the station already has as far as financial. I mean, from years and years, we've been trying to reform and reorganize and do better. And this would just become a primary hindrance in the face of a lot of smaller things that are just barely getting resolved or starting to create space for new programming and, you know, getting listenership back up to where it ought to be. And there's a lot of people that work really hard that had to fight off people trying to change the locks and stuff. I mean, those are all distractions along the way mm-hmm. that do not make it easy to operate. And this seems in that same tact, though, in as E characterized in a pretty ignorant characterization and comparison.
Yeah, and they basically they're the same people that that changed the locks. You know, the same people that supported that. That tells you their motivations. So you know, I would take it with a big pillar of salt.
No, I just wanted to. I apologize for missing last week because I wanted to make sure that you all were aware that you were part of this nonsense. What, two things that I'd like to propose. One, that we do a support the station campaign to the FCC until we can figure out what's the best way to handle the petition to deny license renewal. And the other thing is, did anyone take an opportunity to look at the Good Shop platform as a fundraising possibility for all 501c3s?
I believe you mentioned this a few weeks ago. I don't know if anyone on our end got to look at that, but I know it's been discussed, but not something that we're doing.
No, the only reason I'm asking is because I'm looking so that I've gotten some folks and I've gotten the station management. There's money there,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to get the station management to pick up the money that's there, and then tell people that that's an option, especially if they have zero capital out of pocket
mm-hmm.
to A, get more people to listen to the station, because if you listen to both your show and many other shows on VAI, you have to do searches. It's just imperative that you look up what you've been exposed to see if A, what you're saying is factual, B, where can I get more, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in that context, if we can also use it as a way to support one another. So, for instance, let's say you needed, for some reason, you needed money to support Hope. If there's a 501c3 along the line of, I found out that United Way is a cause on Good Search. We could establish our own 501c3 and support anything we have a mind to in the context that all it requires is a behavior change.
Well, I think the best way for you to convince management over at WBAI to pursue this is point to a 501c3 that is doing this where it's successful and say, look, they did it. You guys can do it too. I'm sorry?
BAI is already a member.
Okay.
They have $1,500 sitting there waiting for them to pick it up. We're trying to get, rather than waste everybody's time, eventually I'll get around to getting Berthold to, or I'll do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get Berthold to give me authorization to speak for the station and teach people how to do the transfer. What I'm more looking at is, there are a number of platforms that we could utilize and get some of this money to where it needs to go by just having people change their behavior. So that's my point.
Okay.
And thank you all for being here.
Thanks so much for the suggestions, and we'll try to spread the word. Take care. Yeah, all kinds of good ideas. Alex, did you have something? I saw your hand go up. Were you falling? What's?
No, I was just thinking the caller had good ideas earlier on.
And you waved your hand to sort of say, okay, yeah, I get that.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Is it Rebel?
No, it's not Rebel. I don't think.
It's Eleanor.
I don't even know who that is. Go ahead.
All right.
Hello, you're on Off the Hook Overtime. Oh, wait, I didn't press the button.
Amazing.
Go ahead.
I got to thank you for so many things. First-time caller, and I've followed you and 2600 for decades, and there was a time that you might not remember that you came back from the CCC in Germany.
Uh-huh.
And you'd bought, somebody had said that there was someone to follow called Frasia, the searcher. Do you remember that?
Say that again. Someone what?
His name was Frasia, Fravia.
Yeah.
He was an internet searcher, I believe, from Finland.
Okay. It's not ringing
a
bell for me.
A long time ago.
Kyle, you remember something?
That name's familiar. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're speaking to, or what was going on in the episode you're referring to?
You guys came back from the CCC, and you had met or heard a talk by this guy, and he was like a really good internet searcher. He figured out ways to use Google and use different search engines and just find things on the internet. Like different types of data, like data that was not necessarily, publicly indexed, but
right.
It was findable.
Okay.
And you guys put that out there, and you turned me on to Linux, you turned me on to ham radio, you've turned me on to a lot of things that have helped me in my career, and I'm just so ecstatic that things that you put out there over the years. And I wanted to thank you for it.
Well,
it's hard.
We're doubly ecstatic to hear that because, doing this is fun, but knowing that it reaches people and it affects them and it changes them in a positive way, that really makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's incredible. I mean, even lock picking. I've picked locks for people at work, and it's just incredible. The things you guys have put out are unique and helpful, and I wanted to thank you for it. And
well, you're quite welcome, and just know that what we do, it's just one part of the hacker community. It's massive. It's global, I like to think we represent the spirit that is dominant amongst this magical community.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks again, and all your crew, your whole team there. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. It's a nice sentiment.
Wow.
It's good to
you.
Hear that. We hear that, but it's great to hear it. It never gets old.
Acknowledgement like that is really incredible. So I'm just so thankful that that person called and shared with us. I don't know what else to say. That was really unexpected.
Take another phone call. We're getting a lot of phone calls. Go ahead, Rob.
That was delightful. That was delightful. Thank you.
Well, let's see if this call is delightful as well. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, I hope it's delightful.
I think so, yes.
Okay.
What's on your mind?
I'm still trying to get my long distance reconnected unsuccessfully.
I'm sorry to hear that, but
still
fortunately, we have the toll-free number that we installed just for you, and I don't think anybody else used it.
Yes, and I'm thanking you for it.
Well, and what's the number again?
I couldn't call you without it.
I clean forgot it, so what's the number?
Oh.
You just dialed it.
I have to look it up on my own calendar here.
You got to work for this.
Hold on. It's 833. Mm-hmm. I remember that much.
833. How exact?
755-2600.
How about that? Wow. Okay. 833-755-2600, toll-free. You wouldn't know it, though. 833, how do you know that's a toll-free area code? But it is. Anything 8XX is where the X is
on
the same.
And
it's toll-free.
If it weren't, my call wouldn't go through, so that's proof.
If you squint your eyes, the extra threes is like eights.
Do they?
Like 1-888.
Yeah, but 888 is, that's toll-free as well. I just remember 800 being a toll-free number.
Alex says, what about 802?
802, no, okay, Alex, the 0 and the 2 are different numbers, therefore the two X's don't equal the same thing. So they have to equal the same thing. So 8, there's no 899 for some reason, and I don't think it went down to 811 yet, but 822 would be the next one. I think after that, pretty much everyone has a toll-free number, so we don't need
it. Can't be 811, because isn't 811 one of the short codes?
Yeah, it's a short code for something.
811's the digging one?
I think it's a digging one. The one I have a problem with, because I really think it could use it for something more people need. We're not all digging cables constantly.
I can dig it.
Anyway, caller, what's on your mind?
Well, I was, as I said, calling to let you know, I'm still not able to make long-distance phone calls, so thank you for the toll-free number.
Yes.
And
if only everybody would give you a toll-free number to call them.
What?
If only everybody would give you a toll-free number so you could call them. All the people in the country that you can't call.
Did you find out from your telephone provider with this new snazzy line if you're able to add your favorite long-distance provider?
Well, they say I can, and they told me to contact them, and I did contact them, and they say it's working fine, only it's not.
Huh.
And I just got another two duplicate emails saying that my ticket has yet again been closed, that the matter has been resolved.
Well, they do that.
Yeah.
According to Verizon.
Oh, they're evil.
Yeah, that's not a company to work with.
Does
this phone number still work? You guys remember when everybody was trading long distance companies like baseball cards? There was a carrier access check number. It was, I believe, 1-700-555-4141. You call that number, and it tells you what your long-distance company is. I don't know if that still works, but you might want to try calling that number. Or what's the worst that can happen?
Wait, let me write it down.
Okay.
Say it again.
It's 1-700-555-4141. Now, I don't know if that still works. It used to work back in the day.
I believe I was given that number once before by one of these places to call.
Okay.
And I called it, and it gave some sort of error message.
Well, it'll give you a message from somebody, but whatever company identifies itself on the message, that's your long-distance company, my understanding.
Yeah, but it didn't actually help.
Well, try it. Maybe it'll work now.
So
go ahead, Kyle.
I'll just add my two cents for strategies for dealing with Verizon customer service and just customer service in general. Try to find as many different – first of all, look up a bunch of numbers for customer service for them. When you find the main one, make sure you play with the phone tree a little bit or their the voicemail system.
The menu.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of what it's called. The automated system, navigate that a little bit. Find out if there's something specific to your question, or find out if you can press some buttons to actually talk to somebody instead of going through the automated.
Oh, yes. I always try to do that.
Yeah. But here's the other thing. Call back multiple times. Like, call and say your problem, knowing that that first call is probably not going to get you somewhere. You'll either get transferred, you're probably going to get hung up on, something will happen. The first one's always just kind of just to get you in a good rhythm.
Yeah, it's a practice one.
The second and third, you start calling as though you're in the middle of something, you got disconnected, but not, you don't even have to make up something like that. Just basically, yeah, I'm calling back regarding something. Mm-hmm. Like, you're in the middle of something, and I'm calling about this, or you reference your ticket numbers if you're actually given a ticket number. But even those, as you said, can be closed out on you and have weird stuff like that. But if you get a name of the first person that you were talking to, and you say you're calling back, you're working on this thing, and you had so much help from this individual that said that you could call back and that someone would help you finish this, or make like they like you haven't been talking to them, but you know that this person can help you. You know, you've got to kind of like break through their no to get to that yes. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's poetic.
Don't give up, though, and no. Just reference their own stuff. Like, use their own bureaucracy against them, like, everything you can think of. Reference their the ticket numbers. Reference, as I said, a representative. Or that you were you had tried this department, but you're actually better off with this person. Or someone told you that this department, they're better suited, they can help you. Or just innocently ask, what is the right department? I was a little bit confused. This is my question. Maybe you can help me get to the right place.
Why is it so hard to be a customer of this company?
They don't want to talk to you. None of these places want to deal with you.
Oh, my God. What a nightmare.
This happened with me with our phone line in the hotel for the social engineering panel.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Always a pain.
Uh-huh.
And getting that installed, getting it set up, getting it tested, I had Alex.
That's why they tore down the hotel.
Yeah, they Verizon finally gave up, and they're like, it's either we take down this hotel, but we're not going back to install a phone line again.
Actually, they haven't torn it down yet, but they aim to.
Long story, really excruciatingly long, I found a secret number. You know, there was like some weird specific number that I could call for certain things, like canceling our account after we'd had the
wait,
event.
You just gave me an idea. No, hold on a second. Verizon is your main company, right? Just not Verizon Long Distance?
Yeah.
No, I'm asking her.
Me?
Yeah, yes. You. Okay, you're part of this conversation. Okay, so
yeah,
if you threaten to cancel your service.
That the company has gone through name changes or acquisitions. So it said WorldCom, and then it said MCI, and now currently it's Credo.
Wait, you're not? I thought you were on Verizon.
No, this is long distance. This is who she's trying to hook up.
I'm talking about the long distance company, not the local.
Okay, so
local calls are Verizon.
You're trying to hook up. Who's Credo?
She's trying to set up her long distance provider with her landline local company and not use their long distance.
Okay.
It's like a third-party long-distance provider, like back in the 90s.
Okay, so why not just pick a different one, then?
And Credo, you know, would give me the legacy suite deal I had for long-distance.
Ah.
And they also give some tiny fraction of what they rake in to charities that you can vote for.
I see.
It's kind of like that good search thing that we were talking about. But just be persistent
Are you on Twitter by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay, this is what you do. You find out what their Twitter ID is, and then you say something really critical about them and make sure you tag them with the @ in front of their username. Guarantee somebody will get back to you and say, we're so sorry this didn't work out, how can we help? And then you can have a conversation with them on Twitter, either through direct messaging or by direct tweeting them. And I've found with many companies, that is the best way to get an immediate result or a much quicker result than you would if you call them. So give that a try at least.
I will do that because certainly it's easy enough.
Yeah, it's really easy.
And it beats being on hold forever and so forth. Mm-hmm. I have something else I want to mention.
Okay, quickly.
Pacifica Fight Back
mm-hmm.
is inviting everyone to a national community radio town hall. BIPOC people are being pressured, being removed off the air on various stations. And we're also going to be discussing that FCC mess.
Oh, you'll be talking about
that's
us.
That's been registered against us.
Cool.
So I wanted to give a plug for everybody mm-hmm. attending this town hall. And the way you do it is you register, and there's this long thing for which I will read off. Slowly, people can get their pens and paper ready. https://us02web.zoom.us/meeting /register/letterT(C)(O)-Q(r)T. And I do not know if this is a capital I or a small L. Followed by small r, capital G, 9, capital T, capital E, capital Y, capital M, 3, capital Y, capital E, small a, capital O, small f, small h, and again, I don't know whether it's an I or a capital I or a small L, followed by yet another capital I or small L, or maybe one of each. 6, G, capital G, I mean, small c, 5, A, either capital I or small L, V, small v, small k, capital H, capital H. I'll try that once more.
No, please. But those I's or L's, they could also be ones. So just to add even more.
There's a solution to this.
Rob, I've got a solution too, but maybe you have a better solution. But what I'm going to suggest is that either you, caller, or anybody else, just cut and paste that into tinyurl.com. Pick something that is friendly, like WBAI meeting or something like that, and convert that and spread the word about that. That way you don't have to read all that. And Rob, what's your suggestion?
Also, this is a Zoom meeting, so that means...
Hang on. Rob's talking. Rob, talk. Go ahead.
Sorry, call it. This is a Zoom meeting, which means that there will be a meeting number and a passcode.
Oh, my God. More numbers.
All you need are those two things, and you don't need the whole string of the web link to the Zoom meeting. All you need is the actual info for the Zoom meeting.
Are you kidding me? We don't even need that.
Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't a unique URL. It's just the URL to Zoom.
It's the URL to this Zoom meeting, which has the meeting and the passcode encoded in it in, you know, long and comprehensible digits. But, like, when you're giving out information for a Zoom meeting, there is always just the, here's the meeting code, here's the passcode, and you just need those two things, and they're much shorter than that whole string of alphanumerics.
Do you have that information, caller?
Well, I have the information, but everybody, I think, gets a unique link.
I think the meeting is always the same and the password is always the same. But I feel like I'm asking for your password on the air, and that's not something I really want to do, even though I know I'm not. So if you want to give out more information, go ahead, but we really have to move on.
Uh-huh. Okay, I can try and look up. I got...
When is the meeting? When is the meeting?
That's going to be on, Saturday the, is it Saturday? Now I have to find it on my computer again. Because I went from the thing that had everything to something else because you wanted me to look up these codes, and now...
I did?
Now I don't have it
anymore. Alex, I think you had something to add.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, it's not often that you hear a full Zoom URL recited to you in spoken word. And I think that was wonderful. I think that the caller is admirable. And
I think we can make a musical piece out of that. I think we can definitely... It could be a meme of sorts.
I found the meeting ID and the password.
We have the meeting ID and password. Everybody stand by. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, the meeting ID is 837-7623-9110. Again, that's 837-7623-9110. The passcode is 461548. Again, that's 461548, but everybody does need to register in advance.
Okay. Well, hopefully people can figure out how to do all that. We are going to move on. But thanks for all that information.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Wow. That was epic. Hey, Alex, I want to ask you, though. Are you in Pennsylvania right now?
Yes.
How about you run outside and see if you can see the space station, because it's about to pass, and it'd be kind of nice if somebody got something out of this.
It's a little cloudy here. I was thinking of that, too, and does it end at 9:08, or does it...
It starts at 9:08, which is 3 minutes from now, and the peak is about 11 after,
okay.
and it ends at 14 after.
Yeah, I should have a view of the northeast sky as well. So
as long as you have a view of the sky, you should be able to see a fairly bright object moving across it, airplane speed. And that goes for anybody else listening, either in the northeast or maybe throughout the entire country. Basically, just look up and you'll see the space station passing by. It'll look like an airplane. It'll be moving in a weird way. It'll be kind of bright, and it'll start in about 2 minutes.
It'll have, like, this characteristic wobble.
Yeah.
Kind of a drift in its orbit.
If you've never seen it before, it's really, really cool. Alex, have you ever seen it before?
Yes, I have.
Ah.
Yeah.
Is that why you're not moving to see it this time?
Well, I will, but it's not time yet.
Well, it will, but you should get your galoshes on or something, whatever it is you wear out there.
Maybe I'm wearing them already.
Okay, fine. So it'll start at about 9:08 and 41 seconds. In the western sky. It'll peak in the north-northwestern sky at 9:11 and 36 seconds. It'll set in the northeast sky at 9:14 and 31 seconds. So that's all the information. And I just want to know if, someone actually sees it. It'd be kind of cool. And right now, Alex, you're the best bet for that. So,
Maybe. If it's a little cloudy here, though.
A little cloudy is not very cloudy. So, you won't be able to see it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'll certainly run out. I think around 9:10 is probably when it would be heading towards where I could see it. I can't really see the western sky that well.
Okay, in 3 minutes I expect to not see you here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take your call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime.
Thank you. So I was just wondering if you could elaborate a bit on both the timing and the content of your recent announcement, actually the announcement that you put out today. Regarding the HOPE conference and some changes regarding some of your policies?
Well, I wouldn't say we've changed our policies so much as we're just trying to make them clear. I mean, yeah, the policy has changed because the country has changed. So we are looking at things differently than we looked at them, say, 4 years ago when we had our last in-person conference. Was there a specific thing you wanted me to address?
Well, more the timing, really. What, if anything, prompted that clarification of your policies?
I don't think it was based on any specific incident or anything like that. Now it obviously is based on the problems we had in 2018, and it's we did this now because we're about 2 months away. It's important to make these things clear. For what people don't know what we're talking about, we acknowledged that we didn't do a very good job in 2018 because we were kind of caught unaware when people tried to sabotage the conference and just show up with intent to disrupt, and it worked. We have ideas on ways to prevent that from happening again. And I guess, the most controversial thing we've said so far is that MAGA hats are not the same as they were back then. Back then we thought, people can wear MAGA hats. Okay, not a big deal. It's a big deal now because since then we've had an attempted storming of the Capitol, actually a successful storming of the Capitol. That symbol means a lot to a lot of people. And in our particular case, it's a symbol we don't want to have around. We're just not comfortable with that. Our attendees have made it clear they're not comfortable with that. Just like having a swastika. Yeah, you have the right to have it, but it's not something that adds anything to the conference. And if it means that much to come to the conference, with that particular symbol, you're not going to have fun. And we're sure not going to have fun. And people are free to be whoever they want to be, believe whatever they want to believe in. But we're also free to have a peaceful environment where people don't feel intimidated because somebody else feels they have to be loud and show things that are quite offensive to many people. And, you know, I know this is not going to be popular with everybody, but we've talked about it with many, many people over the years, and it's the right move.
Well, it's certainly the right move. I'm more wondering kind of about the timing specifically, given that I am part of an organization that had been spending really the last 4 years asking you to clarify those policies and actually take a stand on those issues and address those incidents from 2018.
Okay, so we did. So did we meet your expectations?
Well, no, because you took 4 years to actually get around to addressing them.
Okay.
And
well, here's the thing. We're volunteers. We're not running conferences for a living. We run them every couple of years. This time it was, you know, 4 years. This is when we are coordinating our conference. We have volunteers that are talking about this, you know, and I'm sorry, we don't talk about this constantly. When we're preparing another conference, that's when we have the conversations. That's when we make decisions. And this is a decision we made. I should point out to you, we are being attacked quite a bit from people who are demanding that they should be able to wear MAGA hats to our conference. We're not seeing any support from people who are criticizing us for not doing this quickly enough. So, you know, I have to ask the people that have been insisting we do this.
You are seeing criticism from people who think that you did not react quickly enough.
Yeah, we're seeing criticism from everybody. We're seeing criticism from people that say we didn't act fast enough. We're seeing criticism from people who think we acted too rashly. I mean, at some point, we have to say the past is the past. How do we make the future better? You know, let's stop attacking each other.
At some point, you have to consider which groups you are asking and even harassing to participate in your conferences addressing their concerns.
Who is harassing someone to participate in our conference? What does that even mean?
You and your staff have been badgering my organization.
What is your organization?
To participate. Tool.
Oh, Tool. okay. You know, you guys are filled with drama. I'm not going to get into this here. Nobody is harassing you. Somebody asked you, do you want to be a part of our company? You want to run a lockpicking village? Hey, if that is harassment, I guarantee you will not be harassed again.
Well, no, it's the asking us five times after we asked you to provide some assurance about our concerns
that
we have expressed very clearly to you over years.
First of all, our attendees' concerns are paramount, not some other organization, all right? And we have, you know, it's been front and center for years. You know, we are not going to be intimidated into, answering other people's demands. Look, we said something. It's not good enough. I'm sorry. This is all we can do.
Well, it's not that it's not good enough. It's that it's several years late.
Okay. So how do we make up for that then? Let's just assume that we agree on that. Nothing, huh?
I mean, that's on you to figure out. It's we asked you in the immediate aftermath of the incidents in
it just doesn't seem like there's any way we can ever make this right with you. Well, give us some thought.
I mean, it's a thing where when we have asked you on the record repeatedly to address an issue and you...
First of all, I'm not sure. I've never gotten a request from your organization, so I'm not sure where you're asking. It might be in some social media environment that you think we're in that we're not, or maybe certain people are checking, other people aren't. You know, we're not a professional organization. The conference is run by volunteers. All right, and you know, this isn't Starbucks. You can't ask for the manager and demand satisfaction. We do the best we can, and we have admitted repeatedly that we screwed up in 2018. And, you know, it takes time to assemble a team to get people together to figure out what the best way to, and this is with the world changing around us constantly. You know, we are in a totally different environment now than we were 4 years ago. It's just, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot for anyone to be able to handle. And we're certainly not alone in this. But, you know, like I said before, you're looking at this from one angle. There are multiple angles. We, you know, I would say 90% of the email I have seen today are people that are very angry that we are criticizing MAGA hats. These are attendees. These are people in the hacker community. And, you know, we have to answer them as well. It's, you know, and we have to organize a conference on top of that. You know, I don't think people realize, you know, for something that is a completely volunteer effort, how crazy this can drive people. Why would anybody want to do this?
Well, I mean, speaking as a member and a leader of a all-volunteer organization, I can certainly sympathize. But at the same time, as a member and a leader of a all-volunteer organization that is being asked to contribute our volunteer labor to support your conference.
No, we weren't asking you to contribute your labor. We're asking if you wanted a forum to speak, to share what you're up to, as we always have done. If it's an imposition, don't do it. You don't have to do that. You know, and I appreciate you guys are a volunteer organization, but boy, you're sure judgmental. You're always criticizing others, and I don't think you realize how much work other people are putting in. You know, and it's not easy at all. And yeah, people are fallible. They're going to make mistakes, and when they do, you should work with them to guide them to the right path. Because, you know, what we've been feeling from you guys over the years is just, you know, constant criticism and attacking and judging. You know, why would anybody want to participate in dialogue where that is the tone? You know, other people have reached out to us saying, look, this is what I think you can do better. This is how, you know, I think I can help. And it's just been a lot better, a lot more of a, you know, healthy dialogue. I'm all for that. You know, I'm not for the hostile dialogue. I'm for the, you know, even with people that I agree with virtually nothing, I still like to keep, you know, a positive outlook so that at least when we walk away from the conversation, we can say, you know, I tried, or maybe I was heard, or, you know, at least feel better. I don't want people to feel intimidated or worse, you know, when they're you know, in a conversation like this. It's a conversation we all need to have. There's no question about that.
Well, I mean, it's a conversation that we did try to approach very amicably and in a very supportive manner at the time.
Yeah, I don't think that came through. I think what people saw was a lot of judging. And, you know, I'm not sure why your organization in particular is the Ronan Farrow of the hacker community, but, you know, we're open to having conversations with all different organizations and groups and individuals, and all we ask is that, you know, people listen to each other and that nobody feels like they're being attacked. Obviously, we have to improve, but damn it, we're trying. We are really trying, and today we did something today. And, you know, it would be nice if somebody acknowledged that just a little bit. You know, instead of just getting, you know, you didn't do it soon enough, you didn't do it good enough, you did too much, you know, who are you to tell me what hat to wear? I mean, come on, it's just insane. Why would we ever want to do this again? Hold on a second, Rob, do you have something?
Yeah, I get the feeling about this that this is stuff that's been piling up and festering and just causing more and more bad feelings on every side of everything. And, you know, I very much appreciate you calling with this because it is a step in just having a dialogue. But if we're going to have that dialogue, I think we need to have that dialogue with a forward-looking perspective rather than trying to make things right from the past that cannot be made right. We cannot go back in time and make this announcement sooner. We cannot go back in time and make things happen differently than they did. What we can do is look at where we are now, where we're going, how we're all going to go forward with this. And I think if that's going to happen, it has to happen in a constructive manner. It has to happen in a manner that is not attacking people for things that cannot be fixed because they are in the past and the past is finished happening. I think we all need to move forward on this. And I think today's announcement was a step in that. And I think this call was a step in that. And I think if we can all get together and continue stepping forward on this without trying to bite one another's heads off, I think this will go a lot better for everybody. Everybody concerned.
Well, Bob, if I could just point in, we have been having dialogue, in various ways over the years with different people on the radio, in person, through the magazine. I don't know why that doesn't count, because we're not having dialogue with a particular group. We're having no dialogue. That is not accurate. We're a lot of different people with a lot of different views. We have to figure out where we're coming from as an organization. That takes time. And this is not something where you can just snap your fingers and expect people to respond. There are people spread all over the world. Some of them are completely wiped out from all the work they've been doing. So it's an ongoing process. It's nothing simple. Yes, Rob.
Yeah, this is also a conversation that, today we made the public announcement, but like behind the scenes, we have been talking about this since 2018. We have been trying to figure out the best way forward on this. We have been trying to deal with things in the most constructive ways that we know how. And
we even had a conference in 2020. Don't forget that, an online conference that went very smoothly, by the way. And there can be a lot of bad stuff that goes on online, in case you didn't hear.
But I just don't want to put forward the illusion that like we put this down and then didn't do anything with it until now. Like this has been in the works. This has been being chewed over. This has been at the forefront of a lot of our minds and hearts and stress levels since it happened.
Anything else, caller?
Not at the moment, no.
Okay, well, listen, we do appreciate you bring this up, and, we admire the work you guys do. We're sorry that things have not been great, and, we look forward to things being better. They can't get any worse.
Well, we'll see.
Okay.
All depends on COVID.
All right. Let's hope they don't get worse. Good night. Alex, did you see the damn space station? Did you sit inside and listen to that?
Well, I have to say, I got distracted.
Damn it!
And so I ran out at 9:14.
Oh, you did? Okay. 9:14? That's when it was disappearing. It's not going to wait for you. It's the space station.
I had an external listening party remind me to go outside. And I went outside, I ran out there, and it was too cloudy to see anything.
It was also too late to see anything.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Tell yourself
it was too cloudy. If that helps you sleep, go ahead.
Yeah, it definitely does.
All right. No, we're not taking more calls. It's an hour and a half.
I'm going to take one more call after that. That's a
one more call? Okay, but it can't be a long call.
I'm hoping for Rebel again.
It's Rebel again. If it's Rebel again, Rebel is banned from the next show. So if Rebel is listening, maybe he should consider. Oh, see, it stopped ringing. Or did you pick up? You picked up? You can talk, Kyle. You don't have to just nod. You picked up?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. You're on the air. Or on.
I'm calling from my laptop.
Yeah, okay, but that still counts, Rebel, as you calling.
How's Google Voice sound?
It sounds intrusive, like it always does.
Sounds like you're on
it's
the other
like
side.
It's like being an operator,
No, it's not like being an operator. It's like being in a circle of hell.
Sounds like he's on the other side of a table or something.
I need a drink. I need a drink. I gotta talk to the heavens.
That was a good test, though, Rebel. And we'll catch up with you next week. We'll test your Skype line again, or the week after. Maybe no, next week because
2 weeks.
Not on this
week. Yeah, and I should point out again because I forgot that the deadline to submit speaker talks. If you don't feel like it's too much of a harassment to tell you this. It's the 31st of May, which is 2 weeks from yesterday, right? Because 2 weeks from today is the 1st of June. So 2 weeks from yesterday is the deadline to submit your talk idea, your panel idea. I believe workshops as well. We'll be posting something like that on the about that on the Hope.net website. So, yeah, if you're thinking of giving a talk or some kind of panel discussion or just anything that you think a bunch of hackers would be interested in, by all means, submit it. Speakers at Hope.net, workshops at Hope.net, some of the addresses we have, website www.hope.net with all the information. And, of course, we'll be sending out announcements about this as well. Any closing thoughts from anybody else? Because I'm about to run out of things to say. Go ahead.
I was just hoping that before we signed off for the evening, somebody could reread that URL to the Zoom meeting.
Okay, you know what? I can curse.
I missed it.
I can. We're just online, Alex. I can curse. I want to curse. I'm not going to curse. But believe me, in my mind, I am cursing right now for you suggesting
this?
That.
How about just after the first capital O? That's where I got with you.
How about you go outside again and look for the space station, which is not showing up, and just stand there until it does, in the rain. Oh, I need these 2 weeks. I really do.
Before we go, I do want to mention, we were talking earlier about the 800 number and how useful that is. I just want to thank again our pal Lucky225 who set that up for us and
yes.
Generously has been maintaining it this whole time, like over a year now, just for the benefit of our callers, like the one we had today who makes use of it. I also want to quickly mention that the United States Postal Service is once again sending around free test kits, free home test kits. You can get 8 of them sent to you if you go to special.usps.com/testkits, and you can sign up and get 8 new tests shipped to you for free, and they're terribly useful things, as I'm sure we all know by now.
And that way you can say, hey, guess what? I got COVID again, and let all your friends know. No, I have to resupply because I'm sure I'm going to get it again.
Can I just end this is my thought on some of our conversation here tonight and the conference. We've been talking a lot about what we've been doing collectively and made announcements and stuff. I want to know what the fuck you are doing, everyone out there, to make Hope better.
You just wanted to curse on the air.
I did.
I say the fuck word.
All right. You know what? This is spiraling.
Wait, the fuck word.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. I'll do it
do
in person.
It.
No,
do
I'll do it.
It
in person. Because what happens is it winds up, there's a recording of you saying it, and then people spread it around, and it becomes a meme. And that's not what I want to become a meme for.
What do you want to become a meme for?
I don't know yet. Damn it, there, I'll go that far. That's as far as I'm going. Folks, good night. Great seeing you all. And, we'll be back in 2 weeks, God willing. Good night.
Good night.